So we want to study a fascinating topic, and it's very relevant to the parshios that we read and that we've been reading and continue to read. And that's the question of what's the attitude of halacha and certainly hashkafah towards receiving gifts, accepting gifts. Do we love receiving gifts? Everybody loves getting a present, right? Right. I think that's barred from a different... But anyway, we won't go into detail. But, you know, or do we hate getting gifts? And the truth is that we live in a society where we're so used to accepting gifts, and the country that we live in will give you gifts. In America, for example, we have social welfare, we have food stamps, so we have different things like that. And we have birthdays and anniversaries and so many different occasions which people shower on ourselves gifts. The Chas and Kala get married and they get gifts, which is called in the halakha savlonot, sivlonos. That's a special kind of gift that you give to the Chas and Kala. And sometimes you go to a store, for example, right here next door in Malcha, there's a company that's giving you a gift. Every time you go in there and you buy, they give you another one free. Ooh. Yeah, right here. I forgot the name of the company. Does anybody know what I mean? You know, it's got Clay Bayit. What's it called?
Levinson? Nachmad?
Not Nachmad, the other one. Okay, I'll remember what it is. Anyway, it's right here next door. You can go get it. So if you take a look here on the first page, this is a 3-page article, he tells you, and I'd like you to follow in the Hebrew as I present it, that accepting gifts is really part of our culture. You know, we get gifts on all sorts of occasions. And it's not so clear that gifts and receiving gifts is a good thing. For example, according to some of the commentaries, in our parsha, Parshas Chayisara, Eliezer is giving gifts to Rivka and to her family, and this itself is a fulfillment of Avram Avinu's wish. It wasn't that Eliezer did it on his own. He was working as an agent on behalf of his master, on behalf of Avraham, giving gifts. And Avraham also gives gifts in this week's parsha to the children of Keturah, that was his other wife. Last week's parsha, we have the case of Avimelech, in which Avimelech bestows upon Avraham Avinu tzon, ubakar, avadim, ushvachos. Everything is given over to Avraham Avinu, and he seems to have no hesitation of receiving gifts. In fact, in the case of Mitzrayim, back in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram told Sarah, Imri na achosi at leman yitav li bavurech, v'chaysa nafshi biglalech. And Rashi asks the question, what do those words leman yitav li bavurech mean? And Rashi interprets them, yitnu li matanos. Imagine, Avram Avinu is using the occasion of going down to Mitzrayim with his wife to receive gifts. And yet, paradoxically, when Avram Avinu confronts Melech Sdom, and Melech Sdom says, Harachush kach loch, what was Avram Avinu's response to that? Oh no, I don't want any of this. You know, Harimosi, Esyodi, Michud V'Atzroch Nal, I don't want to accept any of your gifts. V'lo Tomar, and you shouldn't declare, Ani Hesharti Es Avram. In fact, at the beginning of this week's Parashah Chayisar that we read yesterday, Avram Avinu, according to some of Farshim, is offered Ma'aras HaMachpelah by Ephron Achiti gratis, and he refuses to take it. He says, Kesef Mole, I'll pay you the entire value. I don't want any gifts over here. So basically, what we want to analyze today is what's the rule of thumb over here? When is it a good idea to accept gifts, or when is it at least acceptable from a halachic perspective to take a gift, and when should we absolutely avoid a gift? And this is all based on a pasuk in Mishlei, which you'll see quoted on the bottom of your page 1. Sone matanos yichye. Shlomo HaMelech says, he who hates receiving a gift, he has life. And you're going to see the Gemara in Sota that picks up on this statement of Shlomo HaMelech and goes very far. So let's just first give a number of scenarios, a number of questions that we want to ask. Number one, when is it negative? When is it anti-Jewish to accept gifts, and we should avoid it at all costs? When, on the other hand, should we accept gifts? When were we allowed to accept gifts? When should we hate to accept gifts? And what is this all about? I mean, why should the attitude of Judaism be negative towards accepting gifts, especially since it's so so much ingrained in our culture, we look for all opportunities to get gifts. And in the case of Avraham Avinu, when does Avraham Avinu say, oh no, I don't want any gifts? Nothing from you, King of Stone. I'm not going to take from Ephron Achiti. But yet, on the other hand, Avraham Avinu is giving gifts, and he himself is receiving gifts. Laman Yitavli Bavure. So let's begin with the Gemara in Sota, which if you have page 1, it's about 7 lines up from the bottom of the page. The Gemara says in Masechta Sota, Misharabu Mekable Matonos. There was a period of time in which culture changed, and the Jews were somehow influenced and impacted, and they started accepting gifts. Is Nismatu Hayomim V'Niskatsu Hashanim. People lived a shorter amount. You know, the scientists will try to do this analysis. Why is it that the average lifespan is today much shorter than it used to be way back when? And they have all sorts of, you know, explanations of the environment and the smog and the asbestos and different causes of different diseases. But the Gemara in Sota finds a number of different reasons, one of which is that we started accepting gifts. And Shlomo Melech says, Soni Matanos, Yichye. So accepting gifts is antithetical to Yichye, to life. And that's caused an entire generation change, or let's call it a generic change in which people no longer live as long as they used to. Now, from the Gemara in Sota, which is on Daf Mem Zayin, we want to fast forward to another source, which really tells us that there are two ways to go. There's one paradigm which is called Shaul HaMelech, and there's another paradigm which is called Elisha HaNavi. Shaul HaMelech refuses gifts no matter what, to an extreme. Elisha, on the other hand, if you remember the whole story with the Shunammit, he's willing to accept gifts. She sets up a house for him, or at least an attic in the house, and she hosts him and confers upon him all sorts of gifts. So the Gemara Masechta Brachos, that's 4 lines up before the end of your page, Havotza Lehenos, if you want to enjoy the benefits of others, meaning if others will bestow upon gifts and you want to receive them, interesting, Harotza. What does that sound like, Harotza? How does the halacha depend? Is it, you look up in the codes in Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, you'll never find the word harotza. You know, you want to do this, you're allowed to do this. You want to do this, you're not allowed to do this. Harotza indicates what?
Rishus.
Yeah, that there is just that there are two ways of going over here. So if you're in the mood, you fit into the mode or the ilk of those who want to benefit from other people and get gifts, then Yehene Ke'elisha, you should follow the pattern of Elisha Novi. He's going to tell you the guidelines as to how to accept and when to accept a gift. But She'eno Rotza Lehenos, if you don't want to follow the footsteps of Elisha Novi, you want to be very strict about it, no gifts whatsoever, Al Yahane Kishmuel. Oh, I meant to say Shmuel. Shmuel the Novi absolutely refused gifts. And that's why later on, you remember when Shmuel says that you can't accuse me of taking anything from anyone. I never accepted even gifts from anyone.
Everyone knows there's a price to take a gift.
What is that price? What's it called in our language? What's that called? Paying back. Anybody, what's that called? Yeah. I'm talking in Lashon Kodesh. What's it called? That's called Hakaras Tova. Meaning, I owe you one because you gave me a gift. Okay? So from the Gemara, it would seem that Elisha and Shmuel represent two different paradigms, two different roads that one can take. And even though there's a machlokas here, so to speak, between Shmuel and Elisha about what we should do with regard to gifts, nevertheless, the Gemara says that you can accept gifts and follow the pattern that was set by Elisha, but do it the way Elisha did it. So Rashi writes on this Gemara in Masechta Brachos, Mevuar, he says, you see from this Chazal, Ein Iser Bekabolas Matonos. There's no prohibition against receiving gifts. Ve'avotza Lehenos Mishel Acherim Yehene. And if you take a look at the top of page 2, Rashi says, V'Ein Iser B'Dov. Now, the super commentary amongst the Achronim 5 centuries ago on Rashi and Tosus is called the Marsha. The Marsha is very uncomfortable with this Rashi. He says, how can we reconcile Rashi with the fact that we find over and over again that Chazal, based on the Pasuk Soni Matoras Yichye, are absolutely opposed to accepting gifts? And not only that, Chazal pushed us away from benefiting from others. We should do it on our own. In other words, a person should be mitparnes mi maasei yadayim shelo. A person should be supported, should support himself by working. You know, Judaism has a very powerful work ethic. And we're going to see this in the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that the Rambam says, chas v'shalom, you shouldn't throw yourself on others, that they'll support you. And the Gemara, it's based on a mission in Avos, is going to tell us that if you rely on others, then b'sofo shel davar, at the end of the day, all sorts of terrible things are going to happen. And basically, it's all written in this one phrase of Shlomo HaMelech, sonei matanos yichya. So how could Rashi say, ein iser b'davar? Now the Marsha offers another pshat in the Gemara, and we're not clear as to whether the Marsha is pushing this into Rashi, or he's saying an alternative pshat. This is his own way of interpreting. Says the Marsha, and this you'll see on the third line from the top of your page, that what the Gemara means to say is that if a person is benefiting from someone else, he's not allowed to do it in any other way other than the way that Elisha did it. Elisha presents the license for us, the matir, and the rules and regulations when and how to accept gifts. But to accept gifts in another way, not like Elisha, if you don't imitate Elisha, that is absolutely unacceptable. So he interprets the Gemara like that. It could be that's what Rashi means when he says ein iser b'davar. Rashi means ein iser davar, that's conditional, if you do it exactly the way Elisha did it. Okay. So now, my friends, we get to the kishkis of our discussion. The main question is, what is this all about? What does Shlomo HaMelech mean, and why does he tell us sonei matanos yichya? So Rashi says in his Pirush al Tanakh on Mishle, he says, "May achar shu sonei matanos, if he despises getting gifts, kol shkein shesonei asagezel." He will definitely not want to steal anything. He doesn't even want to get gifts from someone. So what does Rashi imply? Exactly. That this Iser of accepting gifts is not prohibited per se. There's nothing inherently wrong with accepting gifts. But once you get used to accepting gifts, you know, you get a certain taste, a certain flavor for good things. And at the end of the day, you might even take something misappropriate, something illegally. So basically what we have here, according to Rashi, is that accepting gifts is a siag for gezel. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes it even clearly. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his he's the super commentary on Mishle. You know, the first Rishon that you have to learn on Mishle is Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, Vehine zos hamida geder or gader larchokas hachemda. Chemda means coveting something, loving something. You know, I see that you have it, I want to get it. And he says, v'tatzil mimokshe achanufa. He offers a second explanation. Number one, it keeps you away from chemda, from getting used to these wonderful, luxurious things, and once you get used to them, you never know when you're going to be jealous of someone else. He doesn't go as far as to say it's gezel, the way Rashi says, but chemda. By the way, the Rambam in Hilchos Gzeila Vaveda identifies chemda as the first stage leading to gzeila. So there's not a great deal of difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah. We could really lump them together. In any event, they're both saying that this soni matanos yichya is what we call a harchaka, to distance yourself from a violation of a more serious Iser in the case of Rabbeinu Yonah, chemda in the case of Rashi, gezel. And then Rabbeinu Yonah adds another point. And what's that? By not taking gifts, you refrain from what? You distance yourself from what? Chanufa. Interesting. Chanufa is, like you were mentioning before, you know, I want to suck up to you, they say in America. That's not such a nice phrase, but it means I want to make sure that you'll give me gifts, so, you know, I'm not going to be honest about it. Now, why is chanufah something that's objectionable? Why is it bad to, you know, what? Why? What's wrong with chanufah? I mean, after all, I'm complimenting you.
It's like stealing.
Because well, you're faking
it. You're showing that you want to be nice to him. You don't really want to be nice to him. You want to be nice to yourself.
I don't know if I would call it stealing. I would call it a little differently. It's like sheker. It's like lying. Yeah. You know, okay. Another possibility, I'm just throwing this out, is that the reason why chanufah is objectionable is because the mitzvah that the Torah gave us, and it's one of the most fundamental mitzvahs in Beinonu Mel Chaveiro, is Hocheach Tochiach Es Am Yisrael. Now imagine if I'm dependent upon this guy, you know, he showers gifts on me, and I don't want to give him Tochacha, I don't want to, you know, rank him out and castigate him, because if I do so, he's not going to want to be friendly with me, he's not going to want to shower gifts on me. In any event, one thing is clear, we see that according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, the geder, the definition, the essence of Soni Matoros Yichya is called a harchaka. It's a siag l'torah. And the sma, which is the super commentary on Choshen Mishpat, you know, in every section of the four sections, there's one achron that's considered, you know, he's the balabas, he's the last word. So the sma, which stands for Sefer Mira Seinayim, he writes in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat that the prohibition against accepting gifts is because shanotel matona tzarch lahachnif lebrios anosnim lo ulebilti hochicham. He will be very hesitant to rebuke them. Afim hu rosh adarcheim ulkukol. It changes the whole nature of the relationship. I can't possibly castigate you if I need you on my side. You know, so if you're talking about my relationship to the king, okay, maybe chanufah could be somehow acceptable. You know, I don't want the king to get angry at me, and maybe I'm not the guy to give the king rebuke. Although I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if you ever heard, there was a president in the United States called Nixon. Okay? There was a whole impeachment process. He at the end resigned before they could impeach him. He was guilty of many different things, but you never heard of Nixon? Yeah, Nixon. He was actually good for us, but that's a different issue. That's already chanufah, So a person should really feel a sense of honesty in his relationship with someone else, to the point at which, if need be, he wants to straighten him out. He should tell him, hey, you're overstepping your bounds. This is not proper behavior. But once you get into starting accepting gifts from someone, it's very difficult. Fine. This is summarized in a paragraph called Lefi Deos Elu. Namely, that we're just trying to avoid bad midos and worse prohibitions, but there's nothing inherently wrong and there's nothing asur about accepting a gift. And this could reflect what Rashi's shot in the Gemara in Brachos. Yeah, please.
I don't think there is something in this world that you gain by schut. It's like everything here is a gift. Breathing.
From whom, though?
Huh?
A gift from whom, with a capital W?
Like, even your parents.
Good. Excellent question.
It's a gift. So.
But you mentioned breathing. You know, where, to whom do I owe a debt of gratitude, again, to whom with a capital W, when I breathe? To Hashem. A debt of gratitude to a human being, and maybe even in the case of parents, we'll see exactly what the heter is for accepting gifts from parents, is something that really derails me, and that's what I want to show you in the Mitzudas David, from my reliance upon Hashem. Take a look at the Mitzudas David. You know, Mitzudas David is one of the great commentaries on Tanakh. It was authored by someone named Rav David Pardo, who wrote so much. It's unbelievable how a man accomplished that in one lifetime. You could fill up a whole madaf here, in Ari's, you know, a library here with what? With Sfarim from the same author. Anyway, the Mitzudas David says the following. Hasone af matonos. Certainly he hates taking something from someone illegally, but he even hates taking someone's possessions when that someone wants to give him those possessions. Why? Ki yishan b'Hashem. He relies on God. Oz? Hamokom yitein lo od chayim. A person who refuses gifts and relies on Hashem, Hashem will take care of him. God will grant him as a reward more life. That's Sonei Matoras Yichya. Masha'ein B'yad Odom Losais. We have to knock into our brains this philosophical and religious tenet that we believe that everything that we get comes from Hashem. God and only God can grant us life and all the benefits thereof. As soon as we rely on others to give us gifts, it derails us from that mode, that mentality of relying on Hashem. Therefore, hapgam b'midat kabbalat matanot. Why is it derogatory? Why is it deficient to accept matanot? Sheyesh b'davar chisaron b'midat habitachon b'Hashem. And a similar idea we find in Rabbeinu Bachai, one of the great Sephardic Rishonim. So we're going from the Mitzvot David back about 6 centuries earlier. And he writes in his famous work, Kara Kemach, under the Erech, you know, Kara Kemach is divided into Midos. And when he speaks about bad Midos, he has Chanufa. He says, Shoresh Ahavat HaMatanot, why do we love getting gifts? Natua, it's really rooted, it's anchored, B'midas HaChemda, because we love money. We love possessions. Kilo bali de midazu lesone matanos vishalo livtoch behen el mishum shebotech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does a person reach this level of, as Shlomo Melt describes it, of sone matanos? A person who totally trusts upon Hashem. Al kein yichye ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu yaspik lo tarfo mizono v'lo yitztarich limatanos. He doesn't have to come on to anyone.
But Rabbi, isn't this very paradoxical? You're saying on one hand you shouldn't accept them, but yet like one of the strongest midas of Avraham Avinu is to give. So like we're supposed to always give, but yet
excellent.
We receive.
Excellent.
And, like,
so what Aaron is bringing us to, and that's a brilliant point, and that's going to be the next part of our discussion, are there situations where by accepting a gift, I do a favor, I do a tova and a chesed for the person who's giving me the gift, but I have to add the following proviso as we go through the various scenarios, and that is that at the end of the day you still rely upon Hashem. You realize that if there's $1,000 extra in your bank account this month because you accepted a gift, don't believe for one moment that money came without the hashgach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, as long as I'm committed to this philosophy, this tenet of the faith, that everything that happens to me is part of a divine plan, and in some way Hashem is bestowing upon me a bracha. True, the bracha comes through someone else. And if I don't rely on that person, if I don't believe that everything I have is from him, but I believe that he is a shliach hakel, so that when I accept this gift, I don't undermine my belief in Hashem, my reliance on Hashem, as the Katechismus says, we shine al Hashem, then yesh al mal daber, you know, there's something to talk about. So my friends, now let's go through various cases in the post.
Yeah. I would have said the exact opposite of this Ben Rechai. I would have said the biggest risk to a person's bitachon is when they work for something themselves.
So the Gemara says, interesting, that Zeroyim is emuna. Why is Zeroyim emuna? Because somehow when a person gets involved in work, and again, and everyone has to decide for themselves if this speaks to them, he realizes that everything and all his success belongs to Hashem. Meaning, when I get something from someone else, it's so tempting for me to assume or to believe that that person who gave it to me is the original source, so to speak. That's where it comes from. But when I go about working and I see it every turn, in every corner that I turn, wow, look how Hashem did it for me. Again, you have to be trained to think in that way. And that's why Seder Zeroyim is called Emunah. Because I go out there and I break my back. But at the end of the day, is this going to take off or it's not going to take off? Is it going to rain or is it not going to rain? Baruch Hashem, today we got some real good rain. You know, and I'm sure there are plenty of farmers out there who are... But hopefully the farmer is saying, Emunah Zu Zeroyim, the rains came on time, I'm matzliach because of Hashem. Let's take a few minutes to see the tour and the other poskim about how this is brought down lahalach. And this is a Choshen Mishpat, both in the tour and in the Shulchan Aruch Simon Reish Mem Tes. And they write, Midas chasidus shalo lekabel matanah mishum adam. Basically, the Torah is reflecting what we saw already in Rashi, that it's not an Iser per se, but rather it's a Midat Chasidut for a person not to be Mekab. But again, look at his language. The Torah is saying Mishum Adam, meaning if we go to the extreme, again, Elisha accepted gifts from the Shunammit, so we're going to have to see why that circumscribed, that was okay. But the Torah is saying, if you want to go to the extreme, and basically following in the road of which Navi, not Elisha, but Shmuel, and never ever accept gifts from any person, that's a Midat Chasidut. Yeah, I made a mistake. I said Eliyahu, but I'm corrected. I meant to say Shmuel. Shmuel Adam. Now the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch reveal to us why. Why is it a Midat Chasidut not to accept gifts? Ella, but rather Livtoch Hashem. Don't worry about take. You don't need to rely on other people. Don't allow yourself, don't expose yourself and be vulnerable to relying on other people. Once you start accepting gifts, you're going to rely on those gifts. I'll give you an example, even though I'm stopping in the middle of a sentence here. I taught a class in Toronto when I was there for 2 years in a very, very beautiful shul. And at the end of 2 years, the participants in my shiur, again, these were chshuvim, they gave me a very sizable gift. And I was in a bind. I didn't know whether to take it or not. And I think it all depends upon this. If my attitude is that, you know, I did a service for them, and maybe I even went beyond what I, you know, again, it gets pretty cold in Toronto. And there were certain occasions where, and I had this old, I don't want to go into it. I mean, I sometimes need to think about it. Driving up and half Bathurst, and it was freezing. And there was no way I could use my car unless I pumped it up for a couple hours beforehand, and I had to shovel off the snow off the car and everything else. So maybe, you know, but I have to understand that I'm not beholden to them. I mean, obviously I owe them my car satov, but it's all part of a divine plan. And that's the attitude that you have to take. And that's very challenging. That's not easy. And of course, yeah.
Rashi can kind of, really the result of Elisha's taking the gift from the Isha HaShunamito is he had to do a test amazing to do
excellent.
All these things.
So he was really deserving of that gift. In other words, right. It wasn't a one-way, what we call schadzitri. He was doing something for her too. And part of the reason, and she was a tzaddikus, I'm not trying to take away from that, that she built this attic for him was because it was a tremendous covenant for her to be able to host Elisha Navi. And we're going to see, as Aaron pointed out before, that sometimes by accepting a gift, you really give a person who's giving you a big cover. I'll give you an example. The Gemara says in the Masechta Kiddushin that in order to be Makadish and Isha, the man, the husband who's marrying the wife, he has to give her the kesef. But the Gemara has a case in which he accepts money from her, uh-huh, and he's Makadish her with that money. Do you remember what that's called?
Or her chashivas, right? Or her.
He's an Adam Chashiv. In other words, he does her such a favor, she's so touched that he accepted the gift. He says, I'm going to accept this gift, but that hanah, that pleasure, that benefit that I'm giving you, is worth a Shavu Pruta, and I'm Makadish you with Isha. So sometimes, receiving a gift is really doing something on behalf of someone. Again, and that could be the case of Elisha, as you say very well, he was doing something on behalf of the one who gave it. Anyway, let's take a look at some of the poskim, because we don't have that much time, but I want to show you how this all comes down to Psak Halacha. And what we're discussing today is really halachic in nature. And then we want to come back to Avraham Avinu. So we've got a lot to do in the few minutes that we have. First is the Divrei Shalom. The Divrei Shalom says the following, that there's going to be an issue, Elisha versus Shmuel. Elisha thinks that sinas hamatanos, why do we hate to receive gifts? The gift, it's to prevent us from gezel and chemda. Correct? That's what we saw in Rashi Rabbeinu Yonah. And therefore, since Elisha was of that opinion, lo haya choshesh mi lehit areach, he had no problem being a guest in the Shunamit's house and receiving all her gifts. Ki chashash gezel, and the next word should be vechemda, Eino shayach ele ba'ofen shemekabel nechasim lirashuso. Interesting. When you take something, a physical possession, you know, that's concrete, and you can take it into your possession, you know, you give me a bicycle and I take the bicycle, I get a certain pleasure, I get a certain attachment to physical objects and possessions. That's called chemda. And I might even one day, chas v'shalom, steal someone's bicycle. But in this case, you're just hosting me, giving me a place to sleep, giving me food to eat. That doesn't engender chemda because I don't walk out with any new concrete possessions. Aye, but you'll tell me, what about midat habitachon? So Elisha lo ra'abakach pagam bitachon mipnei shera'ab matanot elu et yad Hashem. He thought, Elisha, that God was taking care of him. Again, you have to be on a very high level to accept that. But on the other side, we have the case of Shmuel Anofi. He understood that the reason why sinat matanot is a pagam bitachon and ein lenot Mishum matana shel bnei adam gam lo b'terech iruach. Unbelievable, says the Divrei Shalom. Shmuel was so extreme in his view, he was always afraid, he didn't trust himself. You know, Chazal always say, al tamim v'atzmacha, you shouldn't believe yourself. And you should always make gedarim and accept upon. Like, for example, the famous insight of Rabbi Yerucham from the Mir, the Mashkiach, when he explains why, according to Rashi, Avram Avinu had to muzzle his camels, and why in the case of Sodom, Harimosius Yadi, Rashi says he took a shvu, he took an oath, because he didn't believe in himself. You know, even though naturally he was on the level where there wouldn't be a chashash gezel, but nevertheless, he went to an extreme. And therefore, it's midat hachasidut to follow in the footsteps of Shmuel, says the Divrei Shalom, and not to accept any gifts whatsoever. To be totally independent of everyone. If I'm totally independent, I'll never come to Gezel, I'll never come to Chemda, I'll never come to Chanifa. I'll be totally reliant on Hashem. And therefore, the Gemara in Chulin says that Rabbi Eliezer would never accept gifts that were sent to Mibay Nisiya. Bay Nisiya was the what's it called in English? The exilarch, you know, the one who was in charge. You know, every gola that Klal Yisrael went into, they appointed someone who would be the rush of the gola. He didn't accept it. Elagami litareach sham. Rabbi Eliezer didn't even want to be a guest in the rush hagola's house. Mishum soni matonis yichya. So we see quite clearly that this approach of Shmuel Anavi, to be absolutely extreme about it, and never to say, I'm above the law, never to say, like maybe Elisha was willing to say, I have absolute trust in Hashem, that everything I get and all the gifts I get is because it's because of Hashem, it's a bracha from Hashem. No, you want to go even further, and that's the Midat Chasidut. And therefore, since it's a Midat Chasidut to go so extreme, it's very possible that under those circumstances where you believe that you have an ample, strong midat habitachon, then you're allowed to accept gifts and you could follow in the footsteps of Elisha Novi. Again, you have to be very honest with yourself and know that you're on that level. If on the other hand he feels that by accepting gifts, he's not really relying on Hashem, there's a little bit of, shall we say, deficiency in his relying on Hashem, then ein lo lekablan. He really should not accept gifts. Achim eino margish b'kap gam bitachon. Then he could rely on the pathway, the well-trodden path of Elisha Navi, and accept gifts. But again, keep in mind that he's got to cancel out all these possibilities of gezel, chemda, chanifa, and non-reliance upon Hashem. Okay, first question. Can a person accept gifts from someone who's an anonymous gift? Is that clear to everyone? I don't know who the no-saying was. So the answer is, it all depends. If we're talking about the chemda, if we're talking about chanufa, the fact that you won't be mochiachim, so then I could be Mekil and I could say, well, I don't even know who he is, so I don't owe him any sort of debt of gratitude. But if on the other hand the problem is Chemda, or gezel, or the lack of bitachon, then we should be machmir. So the Imre Yaakov paskins that you could be mekil here, and he has a raya from a Gemara that tells us about Rav Ami, that anonymous funds came in by some unknown donor into the base medrash, and even though Rav Ami would never take funds from anyone else, he was self-sufficient, these funds he took for himself. And the Gemara doesn't ask, what about Soni Matanas Yichya? The answer is they didn't know. Rav Ami didn't know who the giver was. And therefore there was no sense of Hanifa. There was no sense that I won't be Mochiach him. I owe him one. And there's going to be a lack of honesty. I don't know who he is. And therefore there's no Issa. All the other reasons should apply. Maybe Rav Ami thought that in this particular case, he was accepting it in order to learn Torah. He wouldn't steal anything, chas v'shalom, from anyone. He was totally reliant on Hashem that this came as a bracha, min hashamayim, and therefore he accepted those gifts.
Does that mean it's always better to donate things anonymously? So that the other person...
That's halach in tztaka, yes. You're right. In tztaka there are eight, the Rambam has eight madrigas of tztaka, and the highest madrigas when they don't know who the giver is. Number two, can I accept a gift from a government? Okay, now we're back to welfare. And my friends, this is an issue in all the kollelim, all over the world. There are members of the kollel who will accept money, gifts from the government.
It's not exactly a gift.
Right, you pay
an insurance as a gift. I won't pay, and one person is getting it. It's not exactly a gift.
Because you're paying taxes to the government, you mean?
Paying taxes.
Yeah, but what happens if you pay? You see, the people who are on welfare. I'm not sure they do pay taxes. You have to ask a tax lawyer. I think that in America they don't pay taxes at all. In other words, mimonoshach. If you're If you're a candidate, there's a better word for it. If you're a candidate
eligible,
that's the word. Good. If you're eligible for social welfare, I don't think you're paying taxes.
You're getting back taxes, but you're still filing taxes.
No, but I'm just saying it's a pure gift in that sense. And, you know, some people think that, and this was an attitude in Europe, let's milk the government for whatever we can, you know, and it's all for the sake of Torah and so on. But take a look at what we see here. He quotes the Shoshana Samokim, and he mentions a case of a woman who gave birth to triplets. And he says that apparently in Israel, I think he's talking about Israel, if you send a tudat leida to certain different agencies from the Beit Cholim, you receive chitulim, mazon, be good, and other gifts. This is what we call social welfare.
Of course. That's an advertisement. That's like the diaper company wants you to buy their diapers so they'll give you like three samples.
I don't know. He's talking about governmental agencies. You know, he's saying that, again, I don't know, Max, if you're planning to have triplets, you know.
Not this time, no.
You know what I'm saying? That's not an easy, you know, I'm not, you know. Even twins is not such an easy thing, but triplets, my gosh, I don't know how they survive it. He says, Ha'im hanagaz zuru yasa, this question was asked to Rav Zilberstein. Have you all heard of Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein from Bnei Brak? He's one of the great meshivim in our time. And he writes that if the issue is chanufa, that he won't come to be mochiach and give rebuke to the nosein. Here, it's coming from different organizations. He doesn't know the person. There's no personal relation. But if the reason why sonis matos yichya is because of chemda or because of midas habitochen yesh lahachmir v'lo lekabel matanot af mimifalim v'chevrot.
But you can say God give it to me by those people.
Right. That's the question. If you're on that, that's what I'm asking you. I don't mean to say I'm asking you. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But what I mean is you have to ask yourself in an honest way, am I on that madrega that I believe that everything that happens in my life comes from Hashem? You know, if the answer is yes, then that's not an issue. But again, you still have another issue of what? Of chemda. You know, chemda means getting attached to possessions. And you want more possessions and more possessions. Maybe you could say, look, if I have no chitulim, you know, to diaper three babies, so it's not a matter of chemda, you know, it's a matter of survival, you know. But I want to share with you, and I mentioned this at the outset, and then the floor is yours. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky And I have a great deal of respect for Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I'm very close to members of his family. And he is quoted in a book which is published by Art Scroll. A biography of Rav Yaakov, that a Kolnik asked if he can accept food stamps from the government. And I'll tell you this off the record. My mother, may she rest in peace, once said to me when I was a kid, if I accept food stamps, then I'm not her mother anymore. I mean, I'm telling you, the feeling, I don't know, today the world is a little different, but, you know, Rav Yaakov is going back to the world that I lived in. And Rav Yaakov told him that not to accept the stamps, but rather, shi'avod zman katsar lefarnasato, and this guy was able to check mezuzahs, that was his skill, v'yehenem yigia kapov. You know, this is not a popular position today. You know, it's not politically correct. But Rav Yaakov is no second-rate posek. And Rav Yaakov told him not to do it. And what explanation does he give? Sonei matonasich. My friends, you know, this is making a radical change in someone's life. This guy is learning Yom HaValayla, and Rav Yaakov is telling him, go out and get a job. Yeah, this is Lav Milsa Zutrasi.
Shake his hat.
But why is Rav Yaakov telling him this, Max? Because of a pasuk in Mishlei, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Sonei Matonis Yichya. Shem Adam Yisragil Lahachzik Bereshuso Dvarim Sheinu Shelo. A man takes into possession things that aren't really his. Yavo Lebasov Lavar Al Iser Gezel. You know what? Rav Yaakov was a shtickel prophet. You know, Chacham Adif Minovi, because we have scandals going on even as we speak today with people who start by milking the government and at the end they're literally behind bars. And it's such a Chil Hashem, I can't begin to tell you. But can I accept gifts from a non-Jew? Well, the Orchos Matona says that according to the Sma, who says that you shouldn't accept gifts because you won't give Tochacha to the person that gives, the Chanufa aspect, he says, Zeh lo shayach begoy. The mitzvah is hocheach tochiach es, who remembers the next word? Amisecha, Chazal say Amisecha means a Jew and not a non-Jew. Again, this is a big issue, because some say that since the non-Jew has seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, I have to give him tochach on the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach. But that's a different kind of tachach. You know, that we should pick that up at a different time. But in any event, he says the following. Regarding chemda, it, you know, the pasuk says the base reyecha. This is interesting. If I'm jealous of a non-Jew, you know, I pass by some famous movie star's house, you know, in Hollywood, you know, California, in L.A., and I see, you know, he's got, you know, I don't know what, a Mercedes, he's got a mansion, and this, that, and I feel chemda. So that's not included under the Isser chemda, because the Torah says in the parsha, twice in the Torah, it says base reyecha. He says, however, there's still room to be machmir, because the Sma doesn't mean that by accepting gifts you'll violate the Iser Chemda. What he's worried about is the Mida Ra of Chemda, and that can be incurred. There's no difference in being jealous of a Jew or being jealous of a guy. Again, there's a difference as far as the strict level of the Iser, what we call the literal translation of the law, but in terms of the Mida of Chemda and what it might do to you. Levadai, lefi tamar rishonim sheisur mishum siag legezel mishum midas habitachon yesh lahachmir shelo lekabel matonos men hagoy. So to say that all these governmental gifts are okay because there's no iser chemda, it says beis reyecha, or to say that there's no mitzvah of tochacha vis-a-vis the guy, that's not going to cut the mustard here, because we have so many other reasons why sonei matonos yichya, and all of them apply to the case of a governmental agency. Again, unless you're on a very, very high level. And therefore the Rivah in the Torah says that what does Avram mean when he says, L'man yitav li bavurech, and Rashi says, sheyitnu li matonos? Says the Rivah, this is one of the Bali Atosvas, yitnu li matonos v'arisonu matonos yichye, mashakosuv sonu v'teshu hainu matonos shel Yisrael. Unbelievable. The Rivah says that the reason why Avram Avinu took gifts from Paro and from Elimelech is because Avimelech, because what? Because they were Goyim, and there's no Iser with regard to Goyim. So I'm just thinking out loud, if we can combine a few of these reasons together, right? We said that in the case where I don't know who the giver is, right? That was the first shot. Who was that again? That was the Imre Yaakov. He was Mekil. So at least in the case where a guy gives me a gift and I don't know who he is, I can be mitzarif both the Imre Yaakov together with the, help me out here guys, with the Rival at Torah as to justify Avraham Avinu.
How would you know? In Avraham Avinu's case, you know.
No, I'm just saying that, let's say it's a governmental office. So it's not...
Like anonymous?
You know, it's anonymous. That's for sure it's anonymous. If I'm going a step further, I'm saying it's not coming from a Jew. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though you're right, I mean, Jews are paying taxes as well. But I think you would have to agree to me that most American governmental money is not Jewish. I mean, the anti-Semites might tell you otherwise, but that's already... And then he says, what do you say?
But then there's, again, the issue of Emunah, right? So that's only if you're
correct.
Correct. There you go, like Avraham.
Correct. Excellent. Excellent point. The Riva is only talking about, he's talking about Avraham Avinu and those who see that everything that's bestowed upon them, and even Avraham Avinu, as we said in the name of Rabbi Yerucham from the Mir, he himself created Siyagim for Chemda and so forth. He didn't rely on himself. Al Tam Yatz, he took a Shvua, Hari Mosius, Yadim Misruch, Imichut Viad Sroch Nal. And now on the bottom of your page 3, again, I apologize, but I just want to get in a few more points and then the floor is yours. The Rambam says, HaTzadikim HaGmurim, that's 3 lines up from the bottom of the page, the Anshe Maise Lo Yekablu Matana Me'odom. And the Rambam is really reinforcing everything that we've saying, that if a person really wants to reach this Madrega of Chassidus, to become a Tzadik Gomer, if those are his ambitions, and I think those are good ambitions, then he should avoid being makabel matonis me'odom. The Rambam, Rambam say this is not, you know, this is not a, you know, the Mesilas Yesharim or some Musa Shmuz. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Kli Matana. Ela boteach b'Hashem, v'lo b'nedivim, al tiftachu b'nedivim, v'arei nemar, sonei matonis yichin. And then the Rambam goes on to say in Hilchos Talmud Torah that Maila gedolehi l'misha misparnes v'maisa yadav. And the Hasidim Rishon would never accept any gifts in order to facilitate their learning of Torah. But again, if this din of not accepting gifts touches on Tzidkus and Hasidus, then there's room for being Mekil in certain cases. That's what he says on the second paragraph, B'nisibot HaMatzdikot. And what are these Nisibot Matzdikot? So first we have the Chaim Shaul, and he says, what about someone who has two choices? Either he sells a Sefer Torah to support his family, or he receives gifts. Somebody is willing, he has a rich uncle, is willing to give him a great gift. He says, even though Soni Matonis Yichye, in this case, in order to avoid violating the prohibition of selling a Sefer Torah, which again will override and trump that if need be, but if he can avoid that by accepting a gift, better to accept a gift. Again, if there was a strict, absolute Iser according to the din of accepting gifts, there would be no room to be Mekil here. But we can be Mekil here because of the Iser of selling a Sefer Torah.
But if you say that because he needs it, then there's no Iser, so why make no means? Like, the fact that he needs to sell it in order to have food to eat, right? That takes off the Israel. So we could already say that there's no Israel, even if he doesn't need to sell it for that.
But again, if there's a choice between selling a Sefer Torah, which again, it's not that it's mutter to sell a Sefer Torah, and these circumstances will be docha the Yisur, and the other possibility is receiving gifts, that's what the Chaim Shaul, and that's the Chidah, he's one of the greatest achronim, if not the greatest amongst the Sephardim, up until Rabbi Avadia Yosef, that's a different story, but I mean up in the pre-Rabbi Avadia period. So that's the Chidah. It's very interesting, the language of the Chidah is a bit confusing to me, because the Chidah says, if you look at his language, that Ruba de Ruba Yadam Pshuta Lekabel Matanos. He says most people accept Matanos. Now I don't know why
the Simcha,
he says even. I don't know why that, you know, he's looking at the generation, and again, he lived 2.5 centuries, but he's he's adding that as a sniff, so to speak, as a factor here in the equation. And in the next paragraph, he quotes the Shut Shevet Levi, that's Rav Vosner, who's still alive today in Bnei Brak, who says that children, and I think this was a question he asked me before, have no problem accepting gifts from their parents. And why is that? In other words, when a parent gives you a gift, let's say a happy birthday party, you know, he makes for you or she makes for you, then that's all part of Kiruv. Kiruv means to bring two people together and cement that relationship. And it's very fascinating to me that that becomes a factor. You know, when we're dealing with strict halacha, I don't know how much we're going to rely on, you know, cementing friendships and so forth and so on. But here, yesh al milismo, because it's midas chasidus. Then we have a story from the Briska Rav. This is an amazing story. Somebody sent the son of the Briska Rav gifts 8 days after his wedding. Not 7 days, but 8 days. And the Briska Rav said, send it back. Said the Briska Rav, during the 7 days, it's called Sivlonos. It has a special status. This is the way the community expresses their mitzvah of L'sameach Chosam V'Kal. In fact, Hasidim have a word for this. It's called a drasha geshank, because in those days the chassid used to give a drasha, and everyone who came for the wedding would give a gift in honor of that drasha. So to speak, almost like payment. But be that as it may, the halacha requires that you be mesameach the chassid v'kala by giving a gift. I always say that if you host the Sheva Brachos, then you don't have to give a gift, because that's even better than a gift. But says the Briska Rav, that only applies for the 7 days of Mishta, because the status of a chassid v'kala extend from the chuppah for 7 days. It's a mind-boggling story. He literally told him, send back the gift, it's no longer Sivlonos, Sone Matonus Yichya. And as far as the case of accepting gifts, if you feel that you're an Adam Mechubad Ma'od, and accepting a gift, again, Adam Mechubad Ma'od has both an objective category and a subjective category. It's objective if, you know, you're really the Rashka Bahag, and accepting a gift is, if I send a gift to the Gol Adar and he accepts it, you know, and that's tremendous simcha for me. But sometimes Adam Mechubad is relative in a specific type of context or relationship. So the Gemara tells us in Chul about Rab Zera that he never took gifts, he never accepted gifts from the Reish Galusa, but if on the other hand he was invited to the Reish Galusa's house as a guest, then he would accept being a guest in his house. Why? Kavod hu shemiskabdim bi. Because he felt he was giving a kavod to the ma'areach, to the host, that the host could boast that the great Rav Zera stayed in his house. On the contrary, in the Gemara in Chulin Daf Ches, Rav Pinchas ben Yair refused to be a guest in Rav Yehuda Anasi's house, even though it would have been a great kavod. So that's again the more extreme case of Midas Chassidus. And finally, we end up with Avraham Avinu. Why is it in the case of Avraham Avinu in Sdom he refused to take any gifts? And Rashi says the reason why Shalom Tomar Ani Asharti as Avram, says Rashi, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Hivtichani Lashreini Shenemar Varechecha. In other words, I don't believe, says Avram, that the blessing that Hashem promised me is coming through you, Melech Sdom. The reason why you're giving me these gifts is because you want to buy back the nefesh. You want to make a barter deal. You're not motivated by good motivations, and therefore I don't believe, says Avram Avinu. And that's what you'll see in the Gur Aryeh, who is the Maral Mipag's embellishment of Rashi al Torah. He says that Matanos Mimel Stom Lo Hayu Bichlal Birchas Hashem Vavarechecha. Avraham Avinu came to the conclusion, this has to be studied, it's a very profound yesod here in the Maral, that these gifts are not coming from Hashem, we're finishing up, but the Matanos of Paro and Elimelech, and Avimelech, excuse me, those were Brachos of Hashem. And again, we have to go into detail, it's not for now, but Avraham Avinu would only accept gifts when they were coming as a bracha, as a blessing from Hashem. But if he thought they were coming from a bad source, then he didn't want to accept gifts. So we'll finally conclude with a closing line here. Ein Isur Lekabel Matanos. It's only a Midas Chasidus. However, we should realize in our lives that the Midah of Avas HaMatanos, even if you accept gifts, but don't get to the point where you love getting gifts, at least that much, that's not a positive thing to have. And therefore, we should accept gifts only when we have to or when we think we should, but we should always go through the calculations, but never to become an Oev Matanos. Even if you're not a Sonei Matanos, there's a great, you know, how should I say, Dana Shmashis, you know, a twilight zone, an ambiguous gray area between being a not being a Sonei Matanos and being an Oev Matanos. That we should know. All right, good.
Would financial aid and these kinds of things, scholarships, fall under the same category?
Same thing. Unless it's the only way you can get through school, and you think that Hashem is sending a shliach here so that you can eventually get through school, like we said, certain Amoraim, if they accepted anonymous gifts so that they could study Torah, because they didn't feel Chanufo was an issue, and they felt there was no Chison of Bitochon, I can attribute it to Hashem. And there are amazing stories about people who at the last minute they got monies in and they knew it was coming from Hashem. You know? Incredible.